Hello and welcome to the second episode of Pandora's Perspective. We start with the second chapter of Matthew, the visit of the Magi. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he from who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard the king heard this, he was troubled, and Jerusalem with him. Gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and saying, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I may too come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the Christ was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell on the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening the treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then when Herod saw that what had taken place and he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Rahab, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted, because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in the dream to Joseph in Egypt, and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned by God in another dream, he left to the region of Galilee, and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" There's a lot here in this chapter that I probably won't cover all of it, because again, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. But we see in the beginning the visit of the Magi. And the Magi is where we get the word magician, and it really means like a seer, or it's kind of could be equated to like a shaman of our ancient tribal days. And they were learned scholars in the arts of communion with the gods and the sacrifices, and they came from Persia. That's the east. The Magi were from Persia, and so they, having been steeped in the esoteric and occult, were aware of the Christ child being born in the narrative, and you see a lot of stuff like, what's it called, that Zeitgeist documentary in the first part, where the three magi are actually representative of Orion's belt, which in the northern hemisphere, I believe, will, towards the winter solstice of December 25th, be rising towards the point of Sirius, which points to the rising of the sun under the Virgin, the house of Virgo, the Virgin. And, you know, they say that this is, you know, the con of religion. It's really talking about astrotheology. And that's true to an extent. Even in the Old Testament, God said that he gave the stars in the heavens as signs. And that one could understand the divine plan through comprehending and understanding the encoded messages of the stars. And a lot of people can write that off as, you know, inconsequential because, you know, all the different constellations are merely a construction of the human mind projecting images onto the stars, but they're not really there. And that's, you know, a rational point of view. But of course, in depth psychology, that's what makes it such a great method of understanding the archetypes, is because astrology represents the projected images of the archetypes onto the heavens. And so in studying astrology and astrotheology, we actually get a better picture. It's one way by which we examine the archetypal structure of the human psyche. And of course, for Carl Jung, that reality of the psyche is the real reality. It's more real than the temporal spatial realm of becoming, where things, you know, come in and out of existence. It's the realm where it's like more akin to the Platonic realm of ideas, the truer world outside the cave. And so although it's a rational criticism, it kind of misses the point. And so these magi in the narrative go and give three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And gold is associated with the sun and the cosmic consciousness of the interconnectivity of all of being. And the frankincense has often been used as a ceremonial, ritualistic, you know, the burning of the frankincense has actually had antidepressant qualities or aspects to it. And so it's like the mentally well symbol of what the frankincense represents, whereas the myrrh comes from a Hebrew word, the root of which is bitterness, and it represents the bitterness that is experienced through the trials and tribulations of the soul through the process of attaining the Christ consciousness, or what the gold represents, the cosmic consciousness. And so they worship him, these wise men from the east, from Persia, and then in a dream are warned by God not to go back to Herod, because Herod was seeking to destroy the Christ child. And that is the demonic force in the human psyche that seeks to, you know, not develop into a state of awareness where by which they lose power and control over the usurping of the inherent worth of other individuals, and seek to just gratify again their own base desires. And so it's interesting again that they come to the angel comes to them in a dream, as well as again the angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and how he heeds it that same night. He doesn't wait for the morning, he leaves right then. Let's see, what else is in here? There's so much here, but just going off the top. Yes, the going into Egypt. I think tradition has it that Jesus was in Egypt until around the age of 13, because by the time he's 13 or so, he's teaching in the synagogues and amazing people with his insights into the scriptures. So he had to have left Egypt at least shortly before that. And it's interesting that the scriptures tell that the Christ child would come out of Egypt. Egypt is widely regarded as essentially the central fountainhead of the esoteric lore and occult sciences. And so it's no trivial, you know, coincidence that Christ comes out of Egypt. In both the Old and New Testament, it refers to the influence of the Egyptian mysteries informing the biblical texts. And so that's not some kind of like earth-shattering revelation. It's there within the text itself, how much the mystery religions of Egypt influenced the theology of the esoteric aspects of the theology found in both Judaism and Christianity. And so that's an interesting little tidbit. And of course he goes to Galilee, where the prejudice of the day was that nothing good can come from Galilee. And yet that's where Christ remains to spend the rest of his formative years and adolescence growing up. And that signifies that where you least expect that which you need most will be found where you least expect. It's that that humility and the recognition that you know, we're all dependent on a force greater than ourselves that we're a part of, but that we're not the totality of, and recognizing that that which is highest in us is found where we least want to look. That's again going back to the shadow complex. And because our society deems certain values as unacceptable and not culturally appropriate, we repress the contents of our personality that don't fit in line with the accepted norms of our society into the shadow. And most of the shadow is not something that we want to engage with in terms of actualizing, because like our, you know, it's the domain of the devil archetype as well, but it also contains the small aspects of the golden rays of light that are trapped within the dross of the truly reprehensible aspects of each one of our personalities. And it's in making contact with that gold and recovering it through the alchemical process of further self-development that we find the Christ. And so I think, once again, that will conclude another episode here of Pandora's Perspective. Thank you for listening, and be blessed.